Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. This is Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, the Cyclomatic Freedom Fiends, and yes, you're soaking in it right now. So, I don't know what happened to Lusander. I think he's been droned. I'm worried. I called him. He didn't show up. We had a whole show planned. We were going to dissect 1970s advertisements. And talk about how they led to the mess now. There's a lot of ads for the state. So I'm just going to play 70s TV ads until he shows up or any of the other fiend hosts email me and say, yeah, I can do it. DJ and I are just sitting here watching this this DVD you can get on Netflix. It's called The 70s Dimension, and it's pretty funny. So here we go. This is an ad telling you not to drink and drive. It's got an old man telling his wife, I can drink. I know how. I have lots of practice.
Daily conditioning. If you're going to drink and not have it affect you. When you've had as much elbow bending experience as I've had, you're immune to alcohol.
Sure, Mac. Sure.
All the kids go for my mom's sandwiches, and so does Dad. Especially the deviled ham ones.
Underwood deviled ham.
My mom makes great sandwiches. This one's deviled ham.
Underwood deviled ham.
My mom always gives me meat sandwiches to keep me going. Like deviled ham.
It's all good ham and a pinch of spices. For good meat and good flavor, try the whole ham spread from Underwood.
Mr. McGregor, oh, thank heavens you're still here.
Oh, I was just about to go home. What's wrong, Janie?
Jim's folks are coming tonight, and I've got to do something about my coffee.
Come with me. Is your coffee really that bad, Janie?
Jim says it's awful. What can I do?
I have just the coffee for you.
Better try this.
Instant Folgers. Is it good?
Tastes good as fresh perked, because it is fresh perked.
Say goodnight.
Good night.
I love you. Had fun watching the commercials of our youth with you.
So it tastes good as fresh perked because it is fresh perked. I'll try it.
Great coffee. And the folks loved it.
It's Instant Folgers. Tastes good as fresh perked.
I like it better.
Instant Folgers tastes good as fresh perked because it is fresh perked.
Works so fast, you know what they call it? The speed styler. And look what else it has. A concentrator for those tough-to-drive places. And it's fast.
Three drying speeds for easier styling. And it's fast. Special brush for blow-drying. And it's fast.
Plus styling mist for control. And two combs for flippy curls. Wow, Schick gives you the most to work with, and it's so fast. Okay. Schick calls it the speed styler. Get one.
TV commercials. Just Skype me when you get on. I said you got droned. Okay, it's all good.
Hey,
Yeah, Lou will be here soon. He didn't get droned. He was given CIA knockout drops, I think, and he's come to, and he'll be connecting to the network soon. This is an ad for, like, I don't know, that's a stereo? Magnavox. Yeah, some of these don't have any voiceover. The voiceover people should have required the government to require everyone to be able to do voiceover to make jobs for the voiceover people. Not really.
Yeah.
Sunday sports means ABC Sports, and ABC Sports means the superstars. O.J. Simpson, Bob Segrin, Billy Kidd, John Havlicek, Peter Revson, Arthur...
O.J., back when he wasn't as much of a murderer.
...other than their own, then let them compete for the title Best All-Around Athlete in Professional Sports. The superstars. ABC is the place to be for Sunday sports.
Shooting dope.
This is Robert Lamb of Chicago. A lot of our friends, a lot of your friends, aren't around anymore because they were shooting dope. We miss them.
Miss Teenage America.
Square would try to start a car without fastening his seatbelt.
Wonder how she did that.
Only a square would like the government. You're on the air. Hi, what's your name? And
yo, yo, yo.
From? Hi, what's your name?
This is Lou, and I'm calling from Detroit.
Well, good, because you're just in time for a car ad. Let's check it out. It's pretty groovy, man. If you want to do voiceover over it, you can. You got your coffee and your magazine, Lou? You waking up?
Yeah, I am.
It's an ad for a Camaro. Those are American, right? Made in Detroit back when things were good?
Yes.
Yeah, not all these have voiceover. I'll just have to, hi, the Camaro, the car for the guy who has everything, including a pretty girl, but not a Camaro. Get a Camaro, and girls might sleep with you. That's basically what this ad's saying. What did you say when I sent you the trailer to the 70s dimension, this DVD of 70s ads I'm watching?
Oh, it was giving me PTSD big time.
You can make that joke because you were in the military.
No, I was in the 70s.
You were in both.
But yeah, I was in the military.
Yeah. In the 70s?
No. Much later.
You were in Vietnam. What war were you in? Which of the many wars?
I went in 88, so I went in at the end of the Cold War.
Yeah.
See, you know, what you've been missing. Now you can have the world's most powerful antenna for color, black, and white FM stereo. A new Channel Master Color Crossfire antenna. No matter where you live, there's a Color Crossfire model engineered for your area. See what you've been missing. Call your Channel Master dealer.
Yes. You can even pick up the Freedom Fiends on some stations with the Channel Master. So you're saying, Lou? Oh, it's an Air Force ad.
Bring a few things of her own.
course, the Air Force can supply plenty. When you're talking about being equipped, the Air Force has it. Well, you can imagine, the U.S. Air Force is the largest scientific and research organization in the world.
Someday they'll have drones.
Exciting, glamorous jobs open to a girl. 250 of them, at least.
It's a computer the size of a room.
A girl may be offered anything from communication center specialist to photo interpreter. Everything from electronics programmer to dental specialist. You can bet the Air Force is pretty well supplied with everything imaginable to get the job done. Because the Air Force is the now place to be. Right where it's happening. Right where the space age breakthroughs are. Ready to make things happen.
It's the Air Force is a now and happening place.
I remember from back in the 70s and also the 80s, Army commercials. We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Yeah, I like that one. I do more by, 2 p.m. than most people do all day, but I'm asleep at 9 a.m. So, Lou,
you go to sleep at 9 a.m.
I go to sleep at 9 a.m. So what happened, man?
My phone died, and that has my alarm on it, and of course, that's the phone that you call it in case I'm not up in time or in case your internet goes down.
Yep. Yeah. It's, that room full of computers they just showed in that Air Force ad is now in your pocket, but it doesn't have the diesel backups that the room full of computers probably had. It's all good, man. Every fiend gets one of those, and that was yours. We'll be back with more about the 70s and how they led to the weirdness now.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Michael Dean, also known as the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the line, we got Lusander Fiend, also known as the Aluminum Meerkat. And he just put himself on double secret probation for being late. So everyone's going to have to line up and spank him before we can get back on the air. Lude, so you're making some coffee in the background. Can we hear it? I want
to
hear it.
I moved the coffee pot to the bathroom.
Okay.
It's plugged in there.
All right.
Because I'm like right next to the kitchen.
And these are Sauvage Men's toiletries. Sauvage for the thoroughly cultured savage. From Panco Limited.
Okay, that one showed like a caveman with a bunch of native women chasing him, and then he puts on the cologne and turns into like a caveman in a tuxedo. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Now, was there a bunch of disco dancing in it?
No, but you know what's kind of interesting? I forgot that there were ads for the 70s, not only for liquor and cigarettes on TV, which they don't have anymore, but there were beer ads that showed people drunk. Like, they didn't show them drink responsibly. It was like there were people getting hammered and, like petting the stuffed mountain lion in the ski lodge and things like that. And there were cigarette ads, which they don't have on TV anymore, where not like people smoking in offices, like, guy in a business meeting nervous because he's under pressure, like lighting up cigarettes in the business meeting.
When I was young and back when you could smoke without worrying about a drone strike.
Yeah.
I remember walking through the hardware store with my father and there he is lighting up, smoking in the aisles and then drop the butt on the ground and then stomp it out. And it's like, when you think back, it's like, oh my God, now you can't even smoke in restaurants or bars.
Yeah.
At least not here.
And, I don't like the nanny statism, and I believe that anyone should be able to do whatever they want on private property as, there should be non-smoking restaurants and smoking restaurants if people want to do that. And people vote with their wallets, and I think they would both be successful. I really do. I think there's people who'd want to go to the smoking one and people who'd want to go to the non-smoking one. Now, here's the thing is, I'm looking at smoking now that I've been vaping for over a year. I kind of look at smoking like caveman activity. Like, really? Like, even when I see people do it, in the real world, not just on my computer screen, like when I actually venture out of the the Iron Hamster Warren and see people smoking, I'm kind of like, ugh, really? You're still doing that? You're still taking rolled up pieces of paper with leaves in them and burning them and sucking the smoke in? How primitive is that?
It's kind of like putting a quarter in a phone to make a call.
It's kind of like phone booths, period. You know, I think there's one phone booth left in this town, and it's in the courthouse.
Yeah. As far as the smoking goes, it is my intention to quit in the near future. I haven't set a date yet, but I'm just going to give it up. I'm not going to switch over to vaping or any of that other stuff. I'm just going to quit cold turkey.
Why don't you do it the minute you step into Porkfest, so you can be really cranky and irritable the whole time?
Oh, yeah, that'll be really cute.
Last time I tried to quit smoking, is before vaping really even existed, it was about 7 years ago. It was going to my dad's birthday party with my family. My wife and I went to Virginia to see my biological family, and just being around them makes me nervous, and flying makes me nervous, and I was hell. I was not pleasant to be around, and this will be the... I haven't gone on a plane since then. Going to Porkfest will be the next time I go on a plane. And I will be much sweeter and more patient than last time, I believe. I'll be
the last time I flew to Germany was in the summer of 98. And there was no smoking on the flight. So I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to survive this? Because, you know, when you got a flight, you got to get liquored up. And when you get liquored up, you got to smoke. You know, all three go hand in hand. But when I got there, there was like you could smoke as soon as you got off the plane in the terminal area, and they didn't have you boxed into an aquarium to where all the non-smokers outside could look in at you and point. Laugh.
Still have one of those in the Salt Lake City airport, which is, you know, a lot of airports now, they make you walk a long way and you have to go hide somewhere to smoke or go, you know, into a enclosed animal cage that's outdoors. But in the Salt Lake City airport, they have them in the middle of terminals, and they're big fish tanks that are just, you can't even see the people in them barely. And I think it's because they're Mormons and they don't smoke and they want to put the sinners on display. It's like the Mormons aren't throwing Christians to lions. They're throwing sinners to shame. We'll be back after Lou gets some coffee on the Freedom Fiends.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
What I got, you gotta get and put it in you, Lou. And no, I'm not asking you out on a date. I'm wondering if your coffee's in you yet.
A couple drops.
Yeah?
I'm getting started.
Your mugazine?
I'm having a hard time hitting the vein to put the IV in.
You're getting started late on your coffee here. Aren't you going to be up all night and then have to go to work?
I'm usually up all night and then go to work.
Even when I do the show. What do you do after the show?
I'll usually do laundry, some housework, do some cooking like for the week, you know, just get some food prepped, and that way it's a little bit easier when I come home from work. And yeah, good stuff.
Solve the world's problems.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, you get out the slide rule like in these 70s commercials. They have like engineer. There's ads in this for like the roads, and that's one of the things I want to talk about, is kind of like how public policy is shaped by advertising and by media, obviously. But I forgot about these commercials, man. I've seen almost every one of these when I was a little kid. This collection, which I'm highly recommending, is called The 70s Dimension. And it's about, about an hour of 30 and 60 second commercials. And then there's a bunch of stuff after it that's kind of annoying, but I watched it anyway, where whoever put this DVD out did a bunch of cut-ups, like remixing, analog remixing of commercials to like try to make social statements and weirdness, but and make it ironic. But you know, I think the commercials on their own do a better job with that. Here's a commercial from like some department. I forgot about this too. Like, departments of the government used to do ads on TV blatantly. Like now I think they do it and funnel it through some kind of lobbying group or the ad council or something. And there were ads back then. This one, I forget if it's from the Department of Commerce or something, but it's like, it's basically saying, you know, don't mind the inconvenience of having to wait in line at the airport while we search for drugs. We're keeping you safe. And then there's the commercial two after that on this disc is, a commercial telling people to hire ex-cons. And I'm thinking, like, why? What if you just didn't arrest? You know, basically, it's the government saying, there's the problem of drugs. We arrest people to deal with the problem of drugs. Then you have the problem of people who can't get a job when they get out of prison because we've branded them as drug users. So we want you to solve the problem by hiring these people. We've turned it into a problem. And it's like, government just makes – government tries to propose itself as the solution to the problems it makes. So here go these two ads while Lou gets liquored up on coffee.
Put it in your pipe and smoke it, except when it's a dangerous drug. This innocent-looking briar and pouch contained dream material worth thousands of dollars. Customs agents were alerted by a citizen, fellow passenger, and a dockside spot check stopped another source of international drug traffic. The delay to other passengers going through customs took an extra half hour, but wasn't it worth it?
Oh, it's the Department of the Treasury. Their logo's at the ad. Think at the end. Think about that. The Department of the Treasury doing that ad. And here's the guy getting out of prison. Different ad. Same government.
He paid for his mistake. We paid, too, about 10,000 tax dollars a year to keep him there. Now he's tagged an ex-offender, and unless he gets a job, he'll probably be a repeat offender. If you're someone with a job to give, you can do something about rising crime. Have some faith in him. Give him a job.
Welcome home, Daddy. You home forever?
Forever, honey.
You'll know all about him because he's in a rehabilitation program and he's been thoroughly screened. You complain about rising crime and the billions of tax dollars used to fight it when the best way to fight crime is with jobs. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen.
Social engineering, man. Dig it, Lou?
Oh, God, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting is when somebody gets an F on their report card because they got busted for possession of agriculture.
Yes.
That also increases the liability on any employer that would hire them. So it's a major disincentive to hire people.
Although I think they give tax credits to some businesses to I think that you can't turn someone down based on having been arrested. Isn't that true with some exceptions?
Yeah, with some exceptions, but I basically it's like the German language for every exception. There's a rule.
Yeah.
And the tax credits are given out for hiring somebody with a F on their report card or any of these other things. It actually costs more to fill out the paperwork than you get for the tax credit.
Here's a classic one that doesn't have much voiceover in it, but everyone remembers this one, man. The Crying Indian. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Ooh, I hear your coffee percolating away. The Crying Indian, who was actually played by a non-Native American who was either Jewish or Italian. I forget which. I'll look it up. But it was a really powerful ad. It was one of the ones I remember when I was a kid that really stood out to me. It's, you know, a Native American man in a old-timey Native American canoe going down a pristine river, and then he gets a little closer to civilization, and there's like pollution in the water, and he gets out, and he's standing on the side of a highway, and somebody throws some fast food out the window, and it it breaks, and his feet are covered with trash, and then he's crying. And it's Keep America Beautiful. It's from the Ad Council, which was a government-connected organization that used to put ads out. I remember that one very strongly. I remember A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
For the United Negro College Fund, which I think
you can't say Negro. That's racist.
I know. And they still call it the United Negro College Fund, but
don't make me call the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Yeah. Oh, the guy that played the crying Indian in that ad, and he was also played Indians in a lot of played Native Americans, excuse me, in a lot of Hollywood films. Yeah, he was Italian American. He wasn't Indian at all. Indian. That's another thing in these ads. There's a lot of products that have names like the Big Chief Camper and the Indian Camper, and you couldn't do that now.
Do you think maybe the Indian was crying because of Wounded Knee or any of the other massacres?
Yeah, crying because the government murdered him and his family and all his ancestors and took his kids away and put him in government schools where they beat them if they tried to speak their native tongue.
Yep. Oh, from the 70s, the truant officers.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have them. I was driving home from work, about 2 weeks ago, something like that. And I see a cop car, and it says Detroit Public Schools on it. And I'm like, oh, my God, they have their own division. It's like the Fugitive Recovery Squad.
Yeah, they'll arrest you now.
You escaped.
Yep.
You escaped prison.
They will.
We have to take you back.
They'll arrest them. They'll arrest people now for truancy. They used to just drag you back by your ear to school.
You have to learn how to vote and fill out forms.
Yeah. Man. Ads. Yeah, there's a lot of – there's ads for – there's several ads in here. I'll find one of them at some point. They're literally for roads from the National Highway Foundation, just talking about how great America's roads are and how we're constantly improving them. I kept waiting to hear one that said, without the government, who would build the roads? Because that's basically what they're saying. But, yeah.
Do you remember the campaign Drive 55 and Bring Him Back Alive?
No, I just remember the song I Can't Drive 55.
Yeah, well, it should be Drive 55 and you'll be late for the show like Lou was.
You just sent me a picture. It's a two-panel cartoon photo of like a cat lighting up like a coffee pot. Is that you now? You getting it in your veins? Feeling better?
Well, you can see the cord going into the wall, and then the cat is sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
And the first picture is just a regular picture, but in the bottom picture, there's a flash, so a cat's eyes are lit up. And yep. It's how to tell if your cat is fully charged. And since I had that debacle with my cell phone dying, which is my alarm clock and my, of course, phone, you know, I fear that'd be perfect for the show notes.
Your lifeline to civilization. No, you were late. You don't get to choose the picture.
it was a suggestion.
Okay. I'm just kidding. I actually have a picture for tonight. It's one of Davy Barker's new badges, and it says Creamy Liberty Audio, and it has a fist holding an RE20 microphone with sparks coming out of it and a chain being broken around it. It's pretty darn cool.
Okay, I saw the rough draft of that earlier.
Yeah, this one's better. It's kind of inspired by the LRN logo, but it's basically a pork scouts badge, which is his non statist scout organization in one of his books, and it's the radio badge. It's the badge for doing a podcast. He's not sure yet if it's going to be for doing a podcast or radio show or just being a guest on a podcast or radio show, but I think either would be good. And he's making this whole set of badges and the kind of story that's going to go with them all. And he's going to be selling it takes a while and a lot of money to make actual badges like the bas relief cast bronze badges he makes. But he's making buttons like the Freedom Fiend style buttons done by the same guy. He's making a bunch of buttons for Porkfest, and they're pretty amazing. I'm really psyched for all of them. I just sent you the Creamy Liberty Audio one. And the thing with it is going to be you put the button on upside down and then you turn it over once you've either done a good deed in the realm that the badge describes or broken a nanny law that day.
Okay, cool. And in order to wear this, do you have to open carry your microphone?
No. You know, I was just remembering something I did. The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste video or TV ad that was really, it was really powerful ad. It was in the '70s and it was the United Negro College Fund, which I don't think you can even say that on air anymore, but that's still an organization.
Check your privilege.
Check your privilege. I have said I will shoot anyone who says I check my privilege. I guess if they're serious. Now I wouldn't shoot anybody. I would just be like, what? It was an ad that showed a black teenager sitting at a kitchen table, and it's one shot throughout the whole 30 or 60 second ad with some voiceover. And during the time of the whole commercial, the kid fades away like the Cheshire Cat. Like by the end of the ad, he's gone. And at the end, it just says, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support the United Negro College Fund." And I just, that ad just blew my mind. And I actually used that technique at the end of the Selby movie. Selby's sitting in a chair and there's some voiceover about how he passed peacefully in his sleep surrounded by loved ones. And he fades away and it's just the chair. And it's because somebody had filmed him in that chair on a tripod and then left the camera running afterwards. And I got a hold of the rough tape.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
What do you want to go back to, Lou? You were telling me.
Well, before we talk about the roads.
Yeah.
There, I wanted to talk about the drug commercials.
Because go ahead.
Those commercials is like, if you smoke weed, you're evil. And it was like Reefer Madness was still going on.
Yeah.
And I remember that I was a kid, I don't know, probably about 9 or 10 years old, something like that. We were going to a hockey game, and there was somebody outside selling joints. And I'm with my parents, of course, and my mom's just, oh, my God, he's selling reefer.
Reefer sticks. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, call the cops, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just going off on a nut. And it's like, my God.
First concert I went to was Elton John at Rich Stadium in Buffalo. There were 78,000 people there. It's still the biggest concert I've ever been to in my life. And my dad took me, and I was probably 12. And he was seriously worried we were going to get arrested because there were people smoking marijuana. Like, they were going to come in and arrest all 78,000 people.
Wow. And did you ask him, Daddy, what's that funny smell?
No, I'd already smoked pot when I was 12. I smoked it when I was 11. My sister's hippie boyfriend turned me onto it in New Hampshire. Actually, you know, that's kind of interesting. First time I ever did drugs was in New Hampshire. Might have been in Vermont. Might have been like 10 feet over the border or something. It was near the border. But yeah, they had a cabin in New Hampshire. I told a story about that last night about how a porcupine attacked the chicken coop I was camping in and tried to eat it. And I was asleep. I heard chewing and I woke up and came out and poked it with a board until it went away. And
I thought porcupines are supposed to be gentle and not initiate aggression.
It was eating, man. It wasn't initiating aggression. I initiated self-defense. I gently poked it away with a 2x4. I didn't hit it. I just poked it until it begrudgingly went away, and I ended up with about 70 porcupine quills in a 2x4. You know, the Reefer Madness thing is still going on. Colorado has legalized pot, and I live one state up in Wyoming. And I heard on the radio, on the state-o radio local news the other day here that the governor has just allocated a bunch more stolen money to train cops to recognize pot intoxicated driving down near the border. I don't know how that looks different than drunk driving. Maybe just you're driving really slow and enjoying it all, or like you're playing Pink
Floyd.
Driving while groovy. Yeah. And
in 7 miles an hour.
Yeah. And they're going to pull people over, and if they think they're high in pot, force them to take a blood test. It's mind blowing, man. It's, you know, it's like, can you imagine that? It's like on this side of this imaginary line, you can smoke reefer sticks. Go 10 feet over on this side of the imaginary line, and we will have 6 men hold you down like rapists and stick a needle in your arm. And another nearby state, Nebraska, is trying to figure out a way to actually bill, because they're going to need more law enforcement to deal with stoned drivers from Colorado, and they're trying to bill the state of Colorado for it.
Oh my God, it's disgusting. You know, in that commercial that you played a little while ago, they were talking about the billions of tax dollars that are spent to collect the pot smokers' debt to society.
Yeah,
because somebody in Colorado smoking weed is really, really, really victimizing me here in the failed state project of Detroit. and I have to get my pound of flesh out of it.
Yeah.
Or, since that commercial was in the 70s and they were pushing the metric system, my kilogram of flesh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were trying to – didn't they say by law that had to be universal in America by the year 2000 or something, and it just didn't work?
Yeah. Not even drugs could get the metric system in.
Well, they kind of did, because I think the only way kids know any metric system now is from drugs. They know what a gram is, for sure.
Okay, I'll give you that one, but it still hasn't caught on mainstream. But with that whole war on drugs, and they talk about the billions of dollars that are going to have to be spent to incarcerate these people, on the very second that new law goes into effect, there are millions of new criminals. Where just 2 seconds before, there were not.
And a mind is a terrible thing to taste.
Go to MichaelWDean.com. That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things I don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
We have enough
on scene.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. This is hour two of the 7 day a week Freedom Fiends talk radio musical extravaganza. This is Michael Dean, also known as the Iron Hamster, on the other end of the inner tubes on the, what did you call Skype a few minutes ago?
The Central Skypeinator, yeah.
Yeah, the Central Skypeinator. We have Lusander Fiend, also known as the Aluminum Meerkat. And you're going to say something, Lou?
You know what? Steel meerkat sounds a little bit more masculine.
It does. It does. Although the aluminum titanium alloy meerkat would be pretty awesome because that would be lighter and stronger than steel.
All right, let's go there. Hey, or what's the metal that the shape-shifting Terminators are made out of?
Oh, yeah, liquid metal. Yeah, I think it's just called liquid metal. Yeah, I actually have a gun made out of aluminum. It's a little snubby revolver that weighs like 12 ounces loaded. It's a aluminum titanium aircraft grade alloy. And, you know, I don't wear a tinfoil hat. I wear an aluminum titanium alloy hat. And we're going to talk about how more about ads from the 70s and how they shaped our childhoods. Can I ask how old you are there, aluminum meerkat, steel meerkat?
I am, well, all right, I'll confess to being 43, but normally I say that I'm 29 with like 14 years experience.
Yeah, so you're 43. What year were you born?
70.
So this is, did they park you in front of the TV as a babysitter?
No, not so much. I mean, I wasn't constantly in front of the TV. Video games weren't really big yet until maybe the late 70s, early 80s. So I actually went outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a latchkey kid. I had two parents that worked, so I had a lot of free time to stay home and mail order morning glory seeds and, chew them up and trip my little brains out and watch TV.
And didn't you also send letters off to Pueblo, Colorado, so you could get the government documents?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been an information hound since, you know, I could read. And my mother taught me to read. I could read in kindergarten, and I was the only kid that could read in my kindergarten class. And I didn't get beat up for it, but I got, you know, made fun of for it. Like, it kind of reminds me of Idiocracy. Like, you know, when our hero in Idiocracy is in the courtroom being tried for whatever he's being tried for in the future, where everyone's stupid and he says something, you know, intelligent and, you know, basic, very basic and kind of intelligent. And, you know, the judge and his own attorney say, like, you talk like a fag. That's kind of how it was being able to read in kindergarten. But yeah, man. I mean, that's why I embraced the World Wide Web when it came out. I was on it in 94, and I've been living on it since then, to the point where my back finally hurts. But I've been stepping away and doing some working out and getting on my inversion table. And actually, somebody bought one through the Fiends Amazon link, which is pretty cool. That's a way you can help the Fiends. You can donate money, you can buy advertising, but it's really not about the money here on the Fiends. We like money, but we put it all back into the show. And I don't really need money because I got, you know, this other job doing writing for things. Money's good, but I pour it back into the project pretty much. So what you can really do to help, even if you don't want to spend a post 1965 dime, is you can torrent the Freedom Fiends to help keep us drone proof. If you go to the Freedom Fiends site and click on the link that says Torrent Club, there are complete directions there in how to turn your computer into a cyborg, a networked, intelligent, massive fiend brain to help share what's basically my private golden blockchain of redemption. You know, it's the antique form of blockchain. And everybody says they're coming out with things, post-Bitcoin things are going to work on the blockchain, but I haven't really seen one yet that works. But, you know, Bitcoin came out of BitTorrent, and BitTorrent is very fully working, and 40% of the network traffic on the worldwide internet is BitTorrent traffic. So it's the solid way to keep things drone proof if we don't want to wait around for MadeSafe or Namecoin or whatever to save us. You know, just go join the Torrent Club. So I'm going to play this commercial from the US government from the 70s, and the product they're selling is Rhodes. It's pretty awesome.
This is what it's like when a car hits a barrier at high speed. And this is what it's like when you protect that barrier with an energy-absorbing crash cushion. Light damage to the car, usually no injury to the driver.
Now, I just got to stop this for a minute here. Don't you think somebody other than governments could have figured out that if you put sand or water barrels in front of barriers, they won't kill you as readily when you run into them? Why do you need a government scientist with a slide rule to figure that out? I would figure that out on my private roads, but here we go.
Department of Transportation's Federal Highway Administration now requires these crash cushions on freeways where roadside hazards cannot be eliminated. Of 400 reported hits on these cushions since 1970, there have been but 5 deaths and 31 injuries. The basic barrier is simple: holes punched in empty steel drums. Air and sheet metal absorb impact speed gradually. Variations on the basic barrel theme are metal and plastic cylinders, water-fill cylinders.
Yeah, that's the one I like. Splashes. Woo! It's a party. Come on, come on.
Sand-fill cylinders.
Show us more.
Roads. Even concrete cylinders, but special light, pre-stressed concrete made with vermiculite.
Ooh, vermiculite. Sexy.
Even though a barrier can take just one crash, most can be repaired in a half hour for less than $100.
Yeah.
Roads, man. Roads. Can't have them without governments.
And hear that creamy radio audio and the static and and popping and all that other stuff.
Yeah, it's not very creamy.
It just sounds like using an old record player before the music kicks in.
Yeah.
And torrenting has been around for a long time. Back in the 70s, you got a group of people. One person would go buy the new album, whatever, and then record it on the cassette and pass it out to everybody.
Oh, I thought you were going to say snail mail chain letters.
We're too cheap to spend 20 cents on a stamp. But, you record it, and then eventually high-speed dubbing came out, and you could record a cassette in half the time that it took to play the record.
Yep. Remember this golden oldie here?
Gets even permanent press collars really clean. You won't hear ring around the collar with Whisk.
Ring around the collar.
Oh, God. That is so old.
This one's awesome. Listen to this music, and I'll describe it. This is basically 30 seconds of a sexy woman making love to a Magnavox color television. There's no audio in it. It's just a television, and she's down on the floor, like leaning against it, like it's her true love. I don't think you could do that now on TV. Somebody would boycott you and ban you.
The informational commercials of the 70s seem to have a lot more fact in them, or what was portrayed as fact.
Even that government one. Now they just talk, and they talked features a lot more back then, too. Now they just kind of give you a feeling. You know, it's all about a feeling.
Yeah, now it's just state baiting.
If you don't love America, you should get out.
You should move to Somalia.
Yeah.
You should move to the Free Somalia Project. We're looking for 20,000 signers.
I heard tonight on Free Talk Live that there's some sort of like liberal progressives conference coming up in New Hampshire, and they have like 5 items on their agenda, or 5 like workshops, and one of them is called like something like "What to Do to Protect Your Community Against the Free State Project."
Oh, God, that is so square. You remember, it was maybe about a year or so ago, one of the state thugs in New Hampshire was saying, these free staters are moving here because things are so free. We need to make some laws and chase them away.
Oh, yeah, she's actually a part of this conference.
Oh, God.
Well, Ian said that it's indicative of them actually making a difference, and I agree.
Yeah, what sort of difference are they trying to make?
who the porks?
No, the progressive makes some laws and chase people away. There's too much freedom here. We gotta get rid of these people.
There's a line I keep going back to. It's from Moulin Labe, which is a great minarchist novel about. You kind of have to put your minarchist hat on it, but it was part of the reason I moved to Wyoming, actually. It's basically a story about a bunch of libertarians taking over Wyoming with politics and then seceding and becoming a ad hoc or de facto, not de jure secession state, but a de facto secession state. Like, technically, Wyoming at the end of the okay, spoiler alert. Technically, at the end of the book, Wyoming is still a part of the U.S., but they're completely left alone by the federal government, probably because a few oath keeper free state Wyoming people in the book who work for the Air Force steal three nukes from the Cheyenne nuke repository and hide them in Washington, D.C. somewhere.
Oh, so essentially they turn the federal government into MySpace. They still have accounts. Yeah, they just haven't logged in 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, they become Wyoming becomes a nuclear state.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting, and I've seen this meme that says, have you heard of the vast libertarian conspiracy? We're going to take over and leave everybody alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But strangely enough, libertarians don't take things over, and they don't need to go into government to leave people alone. They can do it from anywhere.
Right.
I think that's the Libertarian Party, which that's their motto. But realistically, they're just a bunch of washouts from the Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
Mostly Republicans these days.
Mulan Labe recognizes that, and the fictitious party in Mulan Labe is the what's that French word that means leaving you alone?
Laissez-faire.
Yeah, the laissez-faire party. And we get letters. Lots of letters.
Letters. We get letters. We get stacks and stacks of letters.
We get letters.
Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to
spy on you and
keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially
do not want you to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, hanging out with Lusander Fiend, the Aluminum Titanium Alloy Meerkat. There you go. That's what it is. We're going to be at Porkfest. I'm going to be showing some movies there and giving little talks on them. One's called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And another's called DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And they're both showing. DIY or Die is showing Tuesday night at 9. And Guns and Weed is showing Thursday night at 9. I'll be doing talk chats after each of them. So, Lou, what did you say? You wanted to maybe talk about the Obama Doctrine, and I said, that's really square. And you said, all I'm going to say about it is what?
Oh, Obama puts the – with his drone strikes, he puts the execute in executive branch.
Ooh.
Because, you know, we do have three branches of government here. You have the legalese branch.
Yeah.
You have the execution branch, and then you have the justification branch.
The justification branch. Yeah, and speaking of conspiracies and assassinations, you want to talk about JFK? Too soon?
No, it happened in 63.
Okay, go ahead.
There's a series of bunch of documentaries. It's called The Men Who Killed JFK, and I found it on YouTube. I think it was like by BBC or something like that, and they talk about different conspiracy theories. For example, there's one particular episode that really caught my attention where you have a special forces guy who gets sheep dipped, which means gets picked up by the CIA and miraculously or mysteriously some doctor that was in part of the autopsy or investigation or something like that winds up getting killed. And there was another special forces guy that was offered the position, but not told exactly what it was, and his buddy got offered it, and his buddy disappeared, and then, you know, shortly thereafter, somebody else gets killed, and, you know. But what was really interesting is, as you're talking to all these people, because they're doing interviews with men and women on the street that were there, and then, you know, people that it impacted their lives, it had such an impact on people, and everybody's just like, oh my God, our president like they knew him, and our government, there's something wrong because our government's doing shady stuff. It's like, really? Nowadays, everybody's like, of course they're doing shady stuff. It's a government. Even the diehard statists expect shadiness.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how opinions have changed, but kind of haven't. And, you know, Ben Stone said that the term conspiracy theorist was coined to discredit people who believed that JFK was not killed by a Marine and his rifle are the most powerful force. What is that line from Full Metal Jacket? There is no force in this universe as mighty as a Marine and his rifle. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And he actually, in the movie, Gunny actually uses, I don't think he uses JFK, the guy who shot JFK. No, he does. He uses him and the idiot who went up.
The Dallas Tower shooter.
Yeah. Was that Austin or Dallas? It was Austin.
Somewhere in Texas.
Some hipster place. Yeah. And, you know, there's a thing I've heard from people who are rifle, you know, not gun nuts, but rifle nuts, people who, you know, like to practice shooting at 700 yards at a deer sized target, excuse me. I've heard them actually say that they don't believe that there's a conspiracy. They believe that JFK was shot by Oswald, and that the reason conspiracy theories formed was the government and the people did not want to face the possibility that one man with a rifle could have done that.
I mean, that is a possibility. As far as the magic bullet theory, and I know that Oliver Stone embellished the story quite a bit, or took poetic license in the movie. But as far as like a single bullet zigzagging all over the place, I'm not really buying it too much.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left. We're through the looking glass here, people, on the Freedom Fiends. You know, there's an alternate theory that I've never heard anywhere else, that JFK was killed by the Mormon church working with the John Birch Society, which is pretty bizarre because the John Birch Society, their main agenda was being anti-communist, and JFK was extraordinarily anti-communist. And I don't believe it. But the interesting thing is this, the only place I've ever seen this story put forth was in a self-published book written by a distant relative of mine. I can't even remember the guy's name. His last name is Dean. But if you search on Pirate Bay for the phrase alternate JFK theory.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
It's the Freedom Fiends, and this is the Iron Hamster hanging out with the aluminum titanium alloy meerkat, Lucander Fiend. And we are participating in the conspiracy theory known as the Freedom Fiends. Yeah, I have a theory that governments are a conspiracy theory. Everything they do is a conspiracy against the people. And in the Libpair Nuremberg trial someday, they will probably be charged with conspiracy for conspiring against the people. Because think about it. I mean, a conspiracy theory, you know, let's find the definition of it. I mean, it's technically, it's like, you know, two or more people getting together to do something untoward and then hiding it with a different explanation. And that's everything the government does all day long.
Murray Rothbard has a quote that I really like. It, and it goes, "I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but conspiracies are happening left and right, mostly on the left."
Yeah. Rothbard was, wasn't he an anarchist that was kind of in, like, not a pure anarchist because he was involved in politics?
Yeah, he was involved in the LP, which is a conspiracy theory of itself. I have no idea what their ends are.
But. Libertarian Party. Yeah. Their ends are seizing the reins of power to remove power.
Well, right now their ends are just to get 5% in an election above dog catcher.
Yeah, you know, Ian Freeman pointed out something kind of interesting when he was talking about how the fact that the liberal progressive socialist party or whatever of it's the Democrats, it's the progressive
or the Republicans.
No, in New Hampshire, the progressive people are having a, you know, the progressive pork fest at some college, and one of the agendas or one of the talks is going to be on how to protect your community from the Free State Project. And he had a really good point. They're not having a conference on how to protect your community against the Republicans. They're not having one on how to protect your community against the Libertarian Party. They're having one on how to protect your and they've never had one on how to protect yourself against the Libertarian Party because they've never had enough of an influence there. But apparently the Free State Project is having enough of an influence that the liberals are running scared. You know, what they may end up having to do is working with the Republicans to try to keep the porks out, like the way that Gonzo, what's his name? Writer? Man, I'm drawing a brain fart. Las Vegas. Help me out here, Lou.
Oh, Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, Hunter S. Thompson, when he ran for sheriff in Colorado in his county, he was going to win, and the Democrats and the Republicans got together and worked against him by having the Republican drop out and letting the Democrat win, and then the Democrats had the Democrat drop out of some other race so the Republicans can win. And you know, the liberals and Republicans in New Hampshire could do that and maybe keep porks from getting elected, but they can't keep them from having influence. And you know, the thing I was going to say earlier about the book Moulin Labe, I really like in it, is at some point in the book, when they're kind of starting to take political power in the state, the laissez-faire party, there's no Democrats can really win in Wyoming. That's usually a fact. And the Republicans are trying to run against the laissez-faire party. And the author jokes, the narrator in the book jokes, like, what are they going to do? You know, the laissez-faire party's platform is basically more freedom and less taxes. What are the Republicans going to run on? More taxes and less freedom. And it's kind of like, that's kind of what I feel about the New Hampshire progressives and the Stop Free Keen and the other conspiracists in New Hampshire, trying to quelch the porks. You know, basically what they're doing is saying, no, don't support them, support us, because we need higher taxes and less freedom.
Yeah. Speaking of French words, a quote from Ludwig von Mises, "If you reject laissez-faire on the basis of human weakness and fallibility, then you must also reject every action of government." And with that, conspiring and collaborating and all that other junk shows, is that the official bird of government should be the seagull, because it has a left wing and a right wing. It's a filthy scavenger. It craps all over the place, and it will steal French fries from a child.
Yep. You know, and speaking of Stop Free Keen, I've done a bit of internet activism against them that I've gotten away with for 2 weeks now, and I wasn't going to say this early on when I did it because I wanted to get away with it for a while. But let me send you this link, Lou, and you can see it. It's an article on Stop Free Keen. It's called, if you go to stopfreekeen.com and search for the article called "Chris Cantwell Celebrates Death of Police Officer, Whines About Backlash." The activism I did had nothing to do with Chris Cantwell or anything that they're saying on this, but at the bottom of the article, are you looking at the article, Lou?
I'm looking at it.
Okay, look at, scroll down to the picture of Cantwell, or the video of Cantwell.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to make this radio friendly, but look at the image below it and read it out loud in a radio friendly changing of one word.
Okay. I want to like people, but they're just so Feinsteining stupid, like Stop Free Keen.
Yeah. Now, doesn't that seem kind of weird on Stop Free Keen?
Is Free Keen's website back up, or are they still out in limbo?
No, they're up. You're looking at it, right?
Oh, okay. I thought this was from Chris Cantwell's website.
No, this is Stop Free Keen. And at the bottom of the page, there's an image saying Stop Free Keen are really Feinsteining stupid.
Yeah, I figured these stupid sons of Bloombergs would have figured it out already.
Yeah, well, what it is below the picture, below the video of Cantwell, they put an image of my DVD, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, which I don't know why they didn't mention it or anything. I guess they do a lot of bashing of the Non-Aggression Principle in Stop Free Keen and say that it's violent. And so they used my video as an example of that. And this is no comment on Cantwell. It's totally a comment on Stop Free Keen. I noticed that the image that they were using, they didn't upload it to their site. They were hot linking it from my friend survivalpunk.com site. So I told them about it, and I suggested that they replace the image with an image with the same file name that said, I want to like, you know, I just said, find something that's insulting to them. And he put up this thing that said, I want to like people, but they're just so effing stupid. And then I said, well, the thing you picked kind of looks like you're making fun of Cantwell. And the point here is to make fun of Stop Free Keen. So I photoshopped on it, like Stop Free Keen, emailed it to him, and he re-uploaded it. So Stop Free Keen are so stupid that they're stealing bandwidth from libertarians to make fun of libertarians, not aware of the fact that libertarians control images that are displaying on their site now. And can use them to make fun of Stop Free Keen. I mean, it's kind of a childish little like, I graffitied your webpage without even hacking it. But it's a property rights issue, man. They were using someone else's property of my, you know, not intellectual property, but just something I made, you know. And I wasn't really insulted so much to have it on here. It was more like no matter what it was, I would have taken this opportunity to get my buddy to put something disparaging Stop Free Keen on their website. And, you know, we thought about using some gay porn or donkey porn or something, but we figured they'd notice that. So we used a picture that was kind of innocuous. And it's been up there for 2 or 3 weeks, man.
Well, I'd like to give you credit for epic trolling.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you've hit troll level expert yet, but you're right up there.
It's pretty subtle trolling, which is cool because it stayed up longer than epic trolling would have probably.
Yeah. Okay. So in that case, I guess it does go into epic trolling proportions.
It's more my brand of trolling. It's more, I'm kind of a mellow, laid back guy. I don't, I don't screech at people. I don't say, you know, thank God for dead soldiers or any of these things that, some libertarians like to do. I'm pretty mellow. I like to I'd rather be like a virus in Stop Free Keen that keeps coming back than something that, you know, makes them vomit immediately and correct something, change something.
Yeah. And I also get a kick out of their Orwellian thought process that the zero aggression principle promotes violence.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Now, the whole thing of don't hit, don't steal leads to hitting and stealing.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this is a group of citizens of Keen who, you know, there's like 20 of them. They,
hey,
go ahead.
Do you know a difference between a citizen and a slave?
A gun.
The slave has no illusions about where he stands in the pecking order.
Yeah, and the Stop Free Keen people and, you know, anybody else who is a statist, but they're kind of uber statists. I mean, they literally said they're trying to find some way to get the government to take Ian Freeman's house, which he owns. They're trying to get the government to take it and then turn it into a museum to the state and government. I mean, what kind of level of sickness is that of somebody who wants to take a peaceful person, have them thrown out of their home, have their home stolen? And the thing is, they don't have the guts to try to do it. They're bullies. They're the kind of bullies that are like, my big brother will beat you up. Big brother will beat you up. You know, they would never be able to effectively troll someone in person and do violence against them, but they are trying to get the state to do it. And they've even done things like call the Keene police and report. It was either this thing Chris Cantwell did or something. And he's not even, you know, doesn't even live in Keene, I don't think. You know, they tried to like report him. He did a thing about something about wearing body armor to protect against violence, you know, basically talking about not even self-defense, just wearing body armor and carrying a gun. And they said on their site on Facebook, Stop Free Keene, that they called the Keene police and reported it as a threat of violence and were disappointed when the Keene police said, we can't really do anything about that. That's not really a threat of violence. So I think at this point, the Keene police are probably far more irritated with Stop Free Keene than with Free Keene. And I think they actually like some of the people in Free Keene, or some of them do.
Yeah, public service message to the people of Stop Free Keene. If you want to erect a museum to the state, well, it already exists. Auschwitz, Dachau, Leportovo Prison in outside of Moscow, Tule Lake, where the Japanese were interned, the Tuskegee, where the experiments with syphilis were done. Yeah, all you got to do is find a mass grave or killing fields, and there's your museum to the state.
Yep. I think the Japanese were interred, not interned. They weren't bringing coffee and getting college credit.
Internment camps.
Internment camps, isn't it?
Intern.
Intern, we will be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. And I'm talking to Lysander Fiend, the aluminium, as they say in Britain, the aluminium titanium meerkat. And I was debating whether to link this bit of trolling I did on the Stop Free Keene site, and I decided not to, because if I do link it, it's a WordPress site, they'll immediately get a notification that it was linked, and they'll probably remove it, and I'd like it to stay up longer. But I do like taking credit for little pranks like this, and you said they're probably going to know anyway, and you and I said the same thing at the same time, and what was it?
Oh, they have monitors in dark rooms with a hanging lamp, and somebody's listening to LRN feed on earphones and scribbling stuff down on a notepad.
They're the local scrutinizer.
Yeah, and right now somebody is calling America Online trying to get their website fixed.
No, they're going over to the webmaster lady's house and banging on her door and waking her up, and she's probably calling the police because she thinks it's freaking.
And they're wearing long black leather trench coats and armbands.
Yeah, the PTA Stasi of Keene. You know, I've never even been to Keene. I don't have anything to do with this. I don't know. I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to have Robin Hooding tours from Porkfest, where you go up for a couple hours and Robin Hood the parking meters.
Or Shire Choir, where people get in a bus and go out to the in the front lawn of the lady who runs Stop Free Keene and sing songs of love and liberty.
Nice. Well,
A little bit of news I want to share, just so you know that it's not just the American government that's completely stupid, idiotic, befuddled, and trips over its own feet and chews on its own tail without recognizing it. We have some news out of Sweden here. And in Sweden, there's an ice hotel, and it's put up every year. And it's made out of enormous chunks of ice from the Torn River in really long Swedish name that I can't pronounce. And the National Housing Board has made its ruling that they must have fire alarms installed inside of this ice building.
And it's a building completely made of ice that's not subdivided by wood or anything. It's just made of ice. And they have a rule that any dwelling, even temporary, must have fire alarms. And that's the thing about government, is the rules are stupid. And beyond the fact that they're stupid, there's no allocation for any innovation. There's no allowance for if this doesn't fit. It's the square, if you're the square peg in the round hole, or more likely the round hole in the square peg. And it's so square, man.
Yeah, and what it comes from is the regulation state, because they're not under grandfather clauses or anything like that. The regulation state that all new buildings must have fire alarms, and because this building is made from scratch every year, that means that they have to abide by the safety rules that apply, like they're building a new building. And one of the quotes in here was, "We were a little surprised when we found out," hotel spokeswoman Beatrice Carlson told the local, "but we do understand. Safety is a primary concern for us. There are indeed things that can catch fire, like reindeer skins, the mattresses, and the pillows. But when you look at American pillows, they say, you know, that's fire resistant, and mattresses don't exactly burn so well unless you throw gasoline on them, because they have fire resistant materials inside there."
Yeah, fire codes. You know, saying that fire codes are square is the kind of thing that makes people like Stop Freaking's heads explode. They're like, libertarians want houses to burn down. No, we don't. And, you know, actually, fire codes were what were used. There's a video on YouTube of the fire department in Keene entering Ian's home without a warrant and demanding to inspect things because some neighbor, probably some Stop Freakiner, had narked on him and said that there were, I guess there were some people staying over, or maybe there weren't, or there were just people hanging out or something, but they tried to get it ruled a boarding house instead of a private home, which required a certain type of number of fire extinguishers.
Alrighty. Oh, and a little correction. It was internment.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with interment, which means burial, or internship,
which means getting coffee for people. And that's the joke I was making. So thank you for listening to the Samizdat that is the Freedom Fiends, the underground literature of now and of the future. So go torrent us on freedomfiends.com. Thank you, hamsters, for joining us.
This is pass off to like your friends.
I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.